The race for the future is moving from the Earth to the skies. Zunum Aero, a startup funded by the aerospace giant Boeing, along with airliner JetBlue, announcing Thursday that it will bring a hybrid electric plane to market within 5 years. The 12-seaters will fly on two electric motors, along with a reserve gas engine, but will travel at slower speeds than traditional planes. Electric vehicle batteries made by Panasonic and Tesla will provide the battery power. But that brings up a dilemma. With Tesla struggling to produce enough batteries to meet demand for its popular electric cars, will there be enough battery power for the planned planes?
Fake news is the problem Facebook has at times been reluctant to admit it even has. But elections in the US and France made it an issue that couldn't be ignored. And German authorities, fearing the worst, made it a focal point in their recent vote. Facebook's response is a test case for what might come next elsewhere in the world.
I'm Reuters' Jacob Greaves reporting from the Bundestag in Berlin, where under increased pressure, Facebook has also stepped up its anti-fake news drive. But has it all just been window dressing?
So the power grid in Puerto Rico is a disaster, and that's partly a financial situation. Puerto Rico owes an enormous amount of money, mostly to Wall Street, declared a sort of form of bankruptcy earlier this year. And as a result of that, they hadn't been trimming the trees, and I think most of the power lines on the island are down. There are also questions about sort of the kind of energy. I think the island is mostly running on oil. Elon Musk and the governor of Puerto Rico are talking about would be replacing it with a network of rooftop panels and batteries.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's October 9th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day, another business week is underway, and we've got a good show for you coming up this morning. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking to Indiana American Water, Indiana's largest investor-owned water utility, some of the issues facing public utilities, especially private utilities like this one, and water, too, in the wake of the Flint crisis. That's coming up a little bit later on. And in just a minute, we'll bring in our first guest from Fox Technologies, Cybersecurity Chicago. The conference and expo is about ready to begin, and we're going to be talking a little bit about data breaches and cybersecurity this morning. But first, let's begin with developing news you heard from Vic in the news. Breaking news in the local business and even global business scene. University of Chicago economist has won the Nobel Prize in Economics. Richard Thaler from the University of Chicago, the prize awarded for understanding the psychology of economics, according to the Swedish Academy of Sciences. The Nobel Committee says Thaler's work shows human traits do affect individual decisions as market outcomes. Calling Thaler a pioneer in behavioral economics, a research field in which insights from psychological research are applied to economic decision making. A background paper from the Academy says that that incorporates more realistic analysis of how people think and behave when making economic decisions. Congratulations, Richard Thaler, Nobel Economics Prize winner from University of Chicago Booth School of Business. We will have more on that throughout the morning here on 720 WGN. Some other news. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the numbers this morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 30. S&P futures are up about 3. NASDAQ futures are up about 11. Oil is trading at $49.24 a barrel, which is off just a few pennies. Asian markets are generally mixed this morning. European markets are generally lower, with the FTSE off about a quarter. The DAX is off just a fraction, so is the CAC in France this morning. A couple of other stories real quickly that we're watching for you this morning. The White House is finalizing an executive order that would expand health plans offered by associations to allow individuals to pool together and buy insurance outside of their states. The move follows failed efforts by Congress to overhaul the health care system. President Trump is also telling congressional leaders that his hardline immigration policies must be enacted in exchange for extending protections from deportation to hundreds of thousands of young immigrants. Trump's list of demands includes overhauling the country's green card system, a crackdown on unaccompanied minors entering the country, and building his promised wall along the southern border. in the wake of the cyber breach at Equifax, Chicago's cybersecurity expo, which is coming up, is going to be a big deal. Lots of discussion about that and other cybersecurity issues. We thought we'd talk a little bit about those this morning here on The Opening Bell. David Dingwall is the vice president at Fox Technologies. Fox is going to be one of the expo participants there. David, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for the invite to join the show.
Well, you know, I mentioned the Equifax thing. I'm sure that's everybody in your world and ours. It's probably front and center, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually in Scotland this week, and it's impacted the UK as hard, if not harder, than the US, if you find that somewhat surprising. But yes, it's a big deal in Europe as well. And obviously for my relatives in Canada, it's hit them just as hard.
Estimates are close to 150 million people. And it begs the question, what more can we do now to protect ourselves with cybersecurity, given the fact that all of our information potentially is out there that could affect us for the rest of our lives?
Absolutely. Equifax is a great example, as is the breach a few years ago with Google, where they have our data, and we're not customers. We're their data. We're their product that they sell to other people. And we have zero control. Kind of ironic for an organization that advertises and measures our financial risk, that we have no callback to them, and no way to get recompense from them apart from, I think it's 1 year of insurance for data that, as you say, is going to stay with us for the rest of our lives. It's kind of almost impossible for us to change our name, change our address, change our parents' maiden name and the name of our favorite dog that we've used for security questions. That's now out there in the wild, and it will never go away.
So tell us a little bit about Fox Technologies. I'm guessing you have ideas to fight some of this stuff, and you'll be bringing them to Chicago, no?
Yeah, Fox T's an infrastructure company. The analogy I like to use is when an internet startup gets going, they build infrastructure in the cloud very quickly. The analogy I like to use is building small playhouses in the yard using plastic building blocks. If their business is successful, they have to get serious, and they have to rebuild that infrastructure with bricks and concrete to get signatures from their auditors and to stay in business. When they do that, Fox T is part of the plumbing that they need to get their internet warehouse or online shop or virtual bank signed off by various kinds of online building inspectors. Don't want to go into technicalities, but that's basically the principle of what we do. We've been in business now for 30 years last month. Doing what we do, and it hasn't really changed in all that time with various changes in technology. The business problem and the technical problems are exactly the same.
David, hang on with us. We're going to continue with David Dingwall. He's the vice president of Fox Technologies, and his company's going to be attending Cybersecurity Chicago, which is coming up October 18th and 19th at McCormick Place. We'll continue our conversation about cybersecurity and breaches with David coming up.
Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Most Asian markets rose today following a strong week on Wall Street as Chinese trading resumed after a holiday. Banks and government-run offices are likely to be closed today in the U.S. for Columbus Day. Both the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ are open today. September's jobs report from the Labor Department showed the first decline in 7 years as employers shed 33,000 jobs. Consumers slowed their borrowing in August. The Federal Reserve said consumer credit rose by $13.1 billion in August, down from a $17.7 billion increase in July. It's a sign that Americans are being cautious about taking on additional debt despite a strong job market. Walmart is making it easier to return items to stores that were purchased online. I'm Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:23 here on our Monday edition. We're talking cybersecurity. David Dingwall is with us this morning, the vice president at Fox Technologies. Cybersecurity Chicago is coming up. It's also National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And David, I know that you've been instrumental in putting together this new report on cyber attacks. It's this study, I believe it's called, the Cost of a Data Breach? The 2017 Cyber Threat Defense Report. What has that shown?
We track an organization called CyberEdge. They look at and talk to the IT security staff worldwide, the people that are at the sharp, pointy end of trying to stop things from happening and fix things if things do. So it's a very focused audience of people who get their hands dirty every day. It's very interesting. Obviously, there's lots of technology updates and things that change, but the biggest issues are all around people. There's not enough security staff in the world. 90% of organizations are looking for extra staff. 50% of them are hiring contractors from the outside, and that's only going to get worse. And then also the other side of the business are people who are not IT security specialists, have very poor training. The assumption is that the technology and the boxes that get plugged in are going to solve all security problems, where it's actually everybody needs to get their arms around the problem, and it's a day-to-day business problem, not just a technology fix. That's really the biggest issues that are coming up this year. Technology has its wonderful ways of being efficient, but it's very much now a people problem and a people issue, and there, quite frankly, isn't enough security specialists in the world to deal with the problem.
You know, one of the headlines from the report, 61% of those folks you're just talking about said that their organization was victimized by ransomware last year, 33% paid ransom. A lot of others reporting other, you know, different problems with software and other things. Has this become the new norm where this is just going to be a constant daily battle against these attacks?
Absolutely. If you know or you have a family member who works in the IT security business, you'll know that they are worked and overworked. Their normal life is very, very frantic, and just keeping up with day-to-day stuff is a huge part of their day, and often weekends, evenings, and family holidays. It is the way they run their life now. And to be quite frank, regardless of what technology you put in place, that's not sustainable, and it's not healthy from a personal working experience perspective. So they're trying very, very hard, and we all want to stop things from happening. But to be frank, things will happen. Those exceptional events take over your day-to-day job, and your normal daily job stops. And you then need to go and squirrel in to find out what else has happened, why this big breach has happened, and what you're going to do about it.
David, oftentimes we hear that companies are not doing enough to play offense in this area. They're trying to play defense, not doing that well in a lot of cases. Is that a fair assessment, or is it this? Am I hearing you say this is a people problem that's preventing them from playing good offense?
It is very much a people problem. The technology is improving; it's getting great, but obviously the bad boys and girls out there who are trying to get into your organization, and it's almost 80% of organizations next year expect to get breached one way or the other. They are very much ahead. They're always thinking about the next way to get at you, to get at your organization, not at what happened last year. So, you know, staff work day to day with what they understand and what has happened and how to fix that. But the bad guys and bad girls are thinking about new ways to get at you. And day to day, it's really how people do their normal business, how people think about data privacy, where that's going to go in the future. And if people don't fix it themselves, then governments are going to start wielding big financial hammers at you to make sure you do think about it quite seriously. And as I said before, it's not just the technology protecting you. It has to be every member of staff in your organization thinking about keeping the data private, making sure it doesn't go where it doesn't need to go. And what happens when your company gets breached? I think the working assumption from everybody is assume your company is going to get broken into. What's going to happen next? So wargaming that out, not just involving the IT staff and the executive board, but each department in the business. What's going to happen when we get breached and how are we going to save our company is something you need to plan for and train for every year.
David, we have about a minute left, but I want to close our conversation here by asking, is there any word of hope or anything to be hopeful for in this area? I know we've been talking a lot about doom and gloom, but anything to be hopeful for?
I think the realization, as we talked about before, that the technology isn't the whole solution, that the people side is just as important. For your people who are thinking of going to college or people who are looking to retrain, the IT security business is a good career to get into, but not just on the technical side. The social engineering side, the psychology of how people get conned to let people into their company network is just as important. So there's very much a career in IT security going forward on the social and psychological side, not just on the technology. So if you've ever thought about it wasn't for me, it's too technical, there's very much a space all around the world for people like you to get into this business and to help protect your organization or people you could work for in the future.
David, very good to talk with you this morning. Thanks for getting up with us this morning on the Opening Bell.
Thank you.
All right, David Dingwall is Vice President at Fox Technologies, one of the expo participants at Cybersecurity Chicago, coming October 18th and 19th to McCormick Place. You can find more about Fox Technologies online at foxt.com, and you can also follow them on Twitter at foxt_SW from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Catherine Davis with today's InnoMinute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by chicagoinno.com. A Chicago startup wants to help you with your grocery list and is taking on Amazon's Alexa. Lister, a device that plugs into your kitchen outlet and lets you say or scan items to add to your grocery list, has officially launched on Kickstarter. Ace Hardware announced that it has acquired e-commerce startup The Grommet, a website that has been a launching pad for brands like Fitbit. It's the first startup acquired in Ace Hardware's 93-year history. Haas Alert, a Chicago startup that notifies drivers in real time when emergency crews, like ambulances, are nearby, has partnered with Waze. Waze users will now automatically receive warnings when emergency crews are approaching. And LevelX, a Chicago startup that creates video games for doctors to help them learn new procedures, just raised $11 million. The company was founded by a former Star Wars game designer. That's today's InnoMinute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Opening Bell Monday edition. I bet you take water for granted. Most of us do. Joe Lockmiller is with External Affairs at Indiana American Water. Indiana's largest investor-owned water utility has launched a program to educate especially young people about water. Joe, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Morning, Steve.
I like that this is called the 71%. Tell people what that means.
Basically, the surface of the earth is covered with 71% of it is covered with water, which is actually a little misleading because a lot of that water is not really in the form that we can use it or drink it.
So you've launched this program to teach us about water, especially young people. Is there a lot to learn that we don't know?
Oh, there sure is. You know, information is power, and the more information you have, the more you're going to be able to impact a lot of the issues that are facing all of us around water and water issues.
So what would be the biggest issue, would you say?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with pollution. You know, out of that 71% of the earth is covered with water, only about 1% of that is the water that we actually use, the fresh water that's not frozen, basically. So we can have a pretty big impact on that in our daily lives just by our actions that we take every day.
What would a couple of those be? I'm guessing conservation chief among them?
Well, household chemicals are big, so you don't want to flush those down the toilet or dump those down the drain. Medications, a lot of people don't necessarily dispose of those in the right way. You don't want to put those down the toilet or the drain as well, because frankly, a lot of those can end up in your drinking water.
I heard one statistic recently. I don't know if it's true or not, but that in I can't remember where they were testing the water, but it was had a high concentrations of antidepressants in it because people are dumping those drugs.
Exactly, and one of the things that they found is that it can impact humans and get in drinking water, but even more so in surface water, rivers and lakes and those types of things. We find it really affecting aquatic life and fish. You know, some of those are having problems on the gender of fish, for example. You know, they kind of don't know whether they're a male or a female.
I think a lot of our minds, people have been thinking a lot about Flint the water crisis that's happened there. Is that possibly, could that happen elsewhere? And what do you want people to know about lead in their water?
It could happen elsewhere. It was certainly a rare situation. That sort of a perfect storm, if you will, of things that went wrong or were done wrong. You know, most water utilities are very much aware of the issues around lead, and they treat their water accordingly to make sure that the water is not corrosive, and that if there are lead pipes out there, that lead is not getting into the water. But Flint has definitely raised awareness around lead, and many utilities, including Indiana American Water, are being very proactive at addressing that situation. We recently got some legislation passed here in Indiana last year that allows us to go in and replace the full, usually the problem is in the service line, the line that connects the water main to the people's home. And so that legislation that's been passed is going to allow us to go in and do what's called a full service line replacement, meaning we're not just going to replace our portion of the line, we're going to replace the entire line all the way up to the homeowner's home. And that's important because there's been studies that found that if you do a partial service line replacement, you can actually raise the level of lead instead of, you know, you think you're doing good by replacing half of that, you disturb that other part of the pipe and you can actually increase the amount of lead. So that new legislation is going to allow us to go in and replace the entire line and totally do away with that situation.
It highlights another of the issues that the 71% program hopes to highlight, which is aging infrastructure, water infrastructure. When we hear that phrase, what does that mean?
Well, if you think about it, a lot of these pipes and this water infrastructure were put in place when we had a lot of growth in the United States, you know, around World War II and even prior to that. So a lot of these are very old, and some of the materials that were used on some of these water mains were not what they are today, frankly. So they're more prone to breaking and those types of things. And, you know, you hear about water main breaks and how that impacts service. And so that has to do with aging infrastructure. And we're doing a lot of investment these days in water infrastructure, and it is starting to pay off. We're starting to see the number of main breaks go down, the interruptions go down, and so we continue to invest on an ongoing basis in infrastructure.
The website, the71%.org, includes some downloadable lesson plans for teachers and other information. What are in those lesson plans, and why is it important to get kids at that learning stage to teach them more about water?
Yeah, the lesson plans are really kind of a hands-on. It gets kids to do case studies and look at their world around them, basically, and to see what are the things that they can do. And as you said, children are very impressionable. They're open to learning. They're open to different ways of looking at things and doing things. So that's why it's so important to basically educate them on these issues at a very early age when they're still open and can change, you know, for a lifetime of behavior, basically, whereas maybe some adults are not going to maybe change.
Here's a question for you, Joe, and maybe it's one you can't answer, but is this being an investor-owned utility, is that different from being a public utility? Do you have different responsibilities and different goals and missions?
It's the same mission. I will say that investor-owned utilities, a lot of times they're larger. You know, some of the municipals and smaller utilities, one of their biggest problems is they just don't have access to capital. So they don't have the money available to them to go out and maybe invest in infrastructure like they should. And then also just the expertise, you know, in a small town, you know, you're maybe not going to have the best person to really understand and treat and help guide that system. So that's, you know, we talk about investor owns. That's one of the things that they typically have to offer is they have a lot of expertise. We're part of a very large company that has about almost 7,000 employees and some people with a lot of experience and knowledge in the industry. So a lot of times we're able to come in and help other utilities that maybe don't have that.
Now, will the 71%, will this be a permanent fixture of Indiana American Water?
It is, and we're going to make sure that we have fresh new content going up all the time as well. It's not one of those sites where you're going to come in, and once you've seen it, you've seen everything. It's going to be ongoing, looking at current issues and emerging issues. So, yeah, we see this as something that is going to be out there for a long time.
Well, Joe, best of luck, and we'll be watching and learning from Indiana American Water. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Yep, appreciate it. And it's 71, it's the 71, the number is 71%.org.
All right, Joe Lochmiller, thanks again for being with us today. External Affairs at Indiana American Water. And by the way, you can follow them on Twitter, too, at NAMWater. And their ticker on the New York Stock Exchange is AWK. 8277 to share this morning, off just about a tenth of a percent.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning, up about 42 points now. S&P futures up about 4. NASDAQ futures up about 13 points. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. They rang down the curtain on the 51st annual World Dairy Expo in Madison on Saturday evening, naming the supreme champion dairy cow of the 2017 show. The name of the cow? Rozier's Blexi Goldwyn ET. The honor of Supreme Champion in the 2017 World Dairy Expo, several owners located in Lomira, Wisconsin, and she was the first place winner in the six-year-old cow class and the senior and grand champion female. Reserve Supreme Champion was earned by last year's Supreme Champion, Muskie Ayatollah Martha, exhibited by Milk Source Genetics of Kokona, Wisconsin. And then in the junior show, Miss Nastiest Why Not Me was crowned Supreme Champion of the Junior Show. The winning senior three-year-old from the International Junior Dairy Show, exhibited by first-time expo exhibitor Aspen Silva of Modesto, California. And so those are the highlights of the final judging competition at World Dairy Expo for this year. They're already making plans for next year. On the schedule today, well, we'll get that update on harvest progress across the Midwest. How much interference from rains over part of the Corn Belt? We'll find out this afternoon with that report. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, October 9th. It is Columbus Day. Financial markets are open. There are a few closings here and there in other sectors. Today, the Nobel Prize in Economics has been announced. Richard Thaler from the University of Chicago, the winner. There's also a preliminary hearing in the case against the Michigan Chief Medical Executive Eden Wells, charged with obstruction of justice and lying to an officer in relation to the Flint water crisis. Fortune's Most Powerful Women Summit features Ivanka Trump, the CEO of Lockheed Martin, Marilyn Houston, and the CEO of Deloitte, Kathy Engelbert. Also later this week, the IMF World Economic Outlook comes out tomorrow. Earnings news on Wednesday, Delta and BlackRock, Thursday, J.P. Morgan and Citigroup, Bank of America and Wells Fargo on Friday. It's a big week of bank earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets.